I have been all excited about this lesson and the next few lessons. I was so excited last night that, what did I forget to do, Marilyn? I forgot to eat. And it was so late when I got through with my study, and I wasn't through finished yet, and so I just went to bed without eating, because I felt so good this morning that I got up and started early. I was hungry when I woke up, but I still studied for 2 hours before I ate. But this has been exciting, and I used to wonder about Brother Hubbard. We were very close, and he was about 50-something years old when I met him, I guess, somewhere around there. And he'd always say that I've got to go study. And I think, what has he got to study? He knows all this stuff already, but now I do. It starts evaporating or something. I don't know what's the matter, but it evaporates. I have to get it right real close to when I'm going to teach it, or else it's not there. And I'll think I discovered something brand new and go find in my notes in a book, and there I had written it before 20 years ago, and I just forgot it. So some of this stuff may be new ground to you.
Welcome to our world.
Used to. I remembered every book I read and what page it was on. It's not like that anymore, I'll tell you that much. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started in God's Word this morning. Brother Wally, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother? Double duty.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as a group here, poised to study your Word, that we can see what glorious things you have for us. We pray that you'll be with our teacher as he gives us the thoughts that you've given him. And then we want to also pray for those who are doing missionary work and who are going out and presenting the gospel to the world. Lord, how it needs your gospel. And we pray that there might be receptive hearts out there, and that people will be truly born again. Thank you again for this morning and our fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I was teasing my wife this morning, which I do often. And I got up, and since I had forgotten to eat last night, she found my food in the microwave. And she warmed it up for breakfast. Didn't waste anything that way. And I told her, I said, you know what? I said, if we didn't eat but twice a day, we could save a lot of money. And we'd probably be slimmer. And I said, if we're slimmer, then I said, we'd use less gas in the car when we're going anyplace. It wouldn't have so much to pull. I said, we'd just be going, we'd be coming out all right. She didn't like that idea. Anyway, I had a ball in God's Word, and I'm going to try to share that with you also. We're on page number what? I can't even read my page number because it's all scribbled over. What page are you on in chapter number 12, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20, 36, page number 36? Okay. Now, I wanted to share one other thing with you before I had written it up on the blackboard, and anyway, it was erased.
What page in the Bible?
Well, we're on chapter 28 and 29 of the book of Genesis, chapter 28 and chapter 29. But if you have your syllabus, which you need to write all these things down in, take all your notes now, because there's a lot of things down here. Now, we talked about Jacob in verse 28 and verse 20 and 21. Genesis 28. Go back to Genesis chapter 28. And I want to get this across to you. They're going to start a little program every year. They give me a sermon or two to preach to you about supporting the church and tithing and all that. Well, I'm getting ahead of them, see. When we come to it, I'll just ignore it. Because I've already done it. chapter 20, 28. And starting with verse 18 is where the subject is. And I just barely touched this the other day because I really didn't get into what I wanted to say about it. And where are you there, Brother Wally? 28, verse 18.
Okay. You want to read it?
Yes, sir.
And Jacob rose up early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel.
All right.
But the name of that city was called Luz at the first.
All right. Let's look at this just a little bit. Now, this is Jacob's pillow. And it was the stone. We talked a little bit about the stone. Some of the British-Israeli theory, they say that stone is underneath the throne in England and all that stuff. I just throw that one at you, just baloney. But anyway, that's what they say. And the place is called Bethel. What does Bethel mean? It comes from two words, Beth and El. All right. We have Aleph in the Hebrew alphabet and Beth. Aleph is what? Huh? It's like an A. But what does it mean? What does it mean? Aleph. First or beginning or head. Head. First, beginning, or head. And then the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet is what?
Beth.
And what does it stand for? House. House. All right. And we have the word Abba. What does Abba mean? Head of the house. Isn't that neat? Head of the house. All right. Well, we have here we have Bethel. So we have the house of God. The house of God. There's an old sermon a long time ago. It says, scrub the kids, put clean clothes on them, and let's go to the house of God. And I think later on that Jacob says this in later times. Let's go to the house of God. Remember that when they preached that sermon years ago, Brother Blanton? You remember that one? That was a very common old sermon that they preached. Brother Wally, do you ever remember that one? Scrub up the kids, put on clean clothes, and let's go to the house of God.
We did.
Yeah, that one, they used to preach that sermon a lot. I remember Brother Dud Pointer, he had a sermon by the name of Let Us. My garden sermon, Let Us. Worship the Lord. Let us go to the house of God. Let us do this. Let us do that. Let us praise Him. Remember that one, Sister Andino? Yeah, let us go to the river. There was a lot of things that they did, a lot of these old sermons. Anyway, the house of God is what he named this place, the house of God. And then verse 20 and verse 21, this is very important. Brother Mike, are you there? What are you doing, reading something else? Okay.
Then Jacob made a vow, saying, God be with
you. Okay, look at that conditional there. What's that conditional? What is the conditional? If. What does that tell you?
Lack of faith
at this time. Jacob still, now God had appeared to him, and he told him, even though Jacob, you cheated your brother, you tricked your brother out of the birthright, I recognize you as the heir. He told him that. Okay, I recognize you as the heir. So that should have been that confirmation as heir, as the spiritual head, the Abba of the family, remember? All right, the spiritual head of the family. And then God appeared to him, okay? Now he names the place Bethel or house of God. And then Jacob makes a vow, and right in the beginning of that vow, he puts a conditional particle, which isn't very good. Lack of faith. Brother Dave, Brother Mike, go on.
Okay, Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, Then the Lord will be my God.
Then the Lord will be my God.
Boy.
Yeah, he was still trying to make a deal. I'm going to tell you what, this deal business is going to get him. It's going to bite him. This deal business, making deals with God and questioning God and trying to put God's neck in the noose and handcuff God, is going to get Jacob in trouble, and you're going to see where it's going to get Jacob in trouble. It gets us all in trouble, doesn't it? It gets us all in trouble. Then the Lord, then Jehovah, will be my God, Elohim. All right? He will be my God. Is that what it says there? And are you got that sacred name Bible today?
Yes.
Elohim?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Elohim. I thought that's what it was. Then Jehovah will be my Elohim. And then verse 22. Now this is something very important here. Very important. Brother David, are you there? This Brother David, this David Lynn Reimer, okay? There's the other David Lynn. Well, he's not here, is he? He's out there doing something.
And the stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house.
Okay, this pillar, what in the world is a pillar?
It holds up the
roof. All right, it's a monument.
Yeah.
This is a monument. The stone which I have set for a monument. All right. Go ahead, brother.
And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee.
All right. All that you give me, I'll keep on tithing. That's what he said. I'll keep on tithing.
Is that still under that conditional?
The first if was still there. Now, if you do this, then I will do this. Sounds like one of these promises. What do they call this thing here today? No, what do they have? This gospel that's going around now?
I don't know, but they're trying to arrive at promise keepers.
What is it?
Promise keepers?
No, not promise keepers. It's a prosperity.
Oh, yeah.
Prosperity gospel deal.
You don't buy God.
No, you can't buy God. But he said, I will continue the tithe. So evidently he was, who do you think taught him the tithe?
His daddy.
His daddy? Who do you think taught his daddy the tithe?
His daddy.
How long had they been tithing?
Since,
Roy hay back here in the garden.
Adam.
What did Abel tell Cain? Remember? Huh? Genesis 4 and verse 3. That's very beautiful in Hebrew. And you miss it otherwise. Genesis 4 and verse 3. You miss it. There's a little word there. Yatav. All right, yatav. And the Greek equivalent to it in the Septuagint is orthos. All right, you just look that up. Brother David, are you there? Because I know you've looked at this before. You probably already corrected the text, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
Oh, you haven't?
And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord.
All right. He brought from the fruit of the ground, the offering of the Lord. Now, brother, yes. Randall.
Abel, on his part, also brought the firstlings of his flock.
All right, in his division.
And of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering.
All right. Now, he divided. He tithed. And Cain didn't quite make the mark. I don't know what he did, but he wasn't tithing. Okay? And what does it say there, Brother Randall? For this keeping?
But for Cain and for his offering he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell.
Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well,
if you divide correctly,
will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not
divide, if you don't divide correctly,
sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you.
Now, I've said this before. I didn't quite get into this enough. What did Cain bring to God? He brought the wrong division. He didn't correctly divide. And what else? He brought the wrong amount, but what did he bring?
First.
He brought a cursed offering from a cursed ground.
Yeah.
A cursed offering from a cursed ground. And what does his brother bring?
a substitutional offering which God had shown them long before this how to bring and come to God. And that's something that had to die. Something innocent had to die for something that's guilty. Which was a type of what? Of the Christ to come. All those offerings were. So here we go all the way back there. I hope you got that. Yatoth and orthos is the Greek word for division. If you want to look it up on Brown, Driver, and Briggs, it's on page 406 and 405 and 6. And in Gesenius, it's on page 347, if you look that up. All right? And that'll give you a little footwork to do if you want to later on. Now let's go on. Verse number 20. What did God promise? What did Jacob promise God? Number 20. What did Jacob? Now, what do you have written down? Or I know some of you do this. I know some of you write it down on your syllabus. Have you two got a syllabus yet? Brother Rex, have you got a syllabus yet? For the Bible in 8 Ages? We're going to have to get one of them to you. Can you get one of the syllabuses for them?
Is that the book?
That's the booklet that goes with. Oh, you've got the syllabus, the workbook too? Okay, anybody doesn't have a workbook? Don't have a workbook? All right. I guess we've got them all straightened out. Brother Brett, you're out of a job right now. All right. What did Jacob promise God? That the Lord will be my God. And what else? That he will continue to tithe. I want you to understand that he'll keep on tithing. Now, he's already tithing because Abraham had taught him. Evidently, even Adam taught his children to tithe. But he goes all the way down. And that was something that was... I mean, when Abraham tithed to Melchizedek, evidently it wasn't something brand new. All right? You go back and read a lot of the histories of the rabbis and everything back then. Number 21. Yes, brother.
Can I read just one?
Yes, go right ahead.
From Romans chapter 2. And they're going back to the beginning of mankind in here. And they're concerned because of certain things. But it says, Paul writes, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. But a tithe is a form of thankfulness.
Yes.
It's gratitude to God for what he has given you. And they were not thankful either.
Yeah.
They weren't grateful to God for what he did for them.
That's right. You know that every false religion requires more than a tithe? And you don't get anywhere. You don't get to God. Every false religion requires more than a tithe. And it doesn't get you anywhere anyway. Gouges, yes. But if you don't give more than tithe, you haven't given anything, have you?
No. My mother was a member of the church one time. They sent her a bill for her tithe. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's what made it mad at it. They sent her a bill.
Well, they do that in all of the state churches, don't they?
Yeah.
That's what they had been doing for hundreds of years. And if you went and lived in Germany, I guarantee you paid the tithe. And in the first states that were formed in America, you paid a tithe to the state because they were state churches in America. All right? Now, Jacob arrived in Padan Aram and met his cousin what? What was her name?
Rachel.
All right. What's her name mean? What's Rachel's name mean? Anybody know what Rachel's name means? It means lamb. Yeah, lamb. It means lamb. That's what Rachel means, is lamb. Okay? And let's get over here and let's read a little bit about that. All right. 29 and verse 1. Brother John, Dr. John, are you right there, 29 verse 1? Just read right along there.
So Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. And he looked and saw a well in the field. And behold, there were 3 flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. A large stone was on the well's mouth. Now all the flocks would be gathered there, and they would roll the stone from the well's mouth, water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the well's mouth. And Jacob said to them, My brethren, where are you from? And they said, We are from Haran.
Okay, hold on right there. Now, why in the world do you think that they might have covered up this well?
Sheep wouldn't fall in it.
Well, for one thing, sheep won't fall in it. Sheep wander along, liable to fall in anything, all right? Because they're kind of like dumb as people are, sheep are. They'll just fall in the ditch and can't get up, all right?
I would say it's probably a security reason.
All right, not only that, but they had a lot of sandstorms. Have you ever been out in my hurricane alley out there where I live? We have sand problems. If we had an open well, the well would be full. So they put the lid over the well to keep the sand out of it and keep anything falling in it or anything else. Besides that, it was also a precaution. If somebody fell in your well, was walking along and fell in your well, and it wasn't covered up, you were responsible. You were responsible. All right, now let's go on. Number five. Number five. Brother Blanton?
Yes, sir.
Can you read that for me there, brother? This number five and...
Five.
Yeah, and just wander right along. Now, I want you to know the Lord has been gracious to him, and he's got glasses to read with now, and he can see to read. He was doing everything by total memory before, and now he can read.
I'm supposed to read 29 and 5.
All right. Yes, sir, brother.
I mean, glasses don't have anything to do with it. I can't read. Okay.
Well, now, this will be a double miracle then.
Yeah. And Isaac sent to Jacob, and he went... Haran under Laban, son of...
Well, we're on the wrong chapter, brother.
Oh, I'm on 24. I'm
going
to build
up
to it.
Oh, you're going to... 29 and verse 5.
Okay, he said unto them, that's out of the Bible?
Yes.
Boy, I'm having trouble.
Okay.
And he said to them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said to them, Is he well? And they said, He's well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep.
All right. Okay.
And, apparently, she must have been a good looker because they were really advertising it.
Yeah.
And he said, Lo, it is yet high day. Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water you the sheep and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together and until they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep.
Okay, hold on there. We got to get back there and look at some of these things. Rachel, what does her name mean? Lamb. Now, you know that it was common, very common for people to give names of their children the names of animals. The Indians did that. All right? You know what my name is in Indian? Shugamiyatatonka. That's what my name is in Indian, Lakota. That's the wolf that follows the buffalo herds, the traveling dog. All right, that's what my name. Yeah, the traveling dog. All right, and they had different names that they had back then. We're going to see these names. The names are very important. Biblical names are foundational, and they are like monuments. I'm telling you, they're extremely important. All right. So now here we have. It was a custom of the people to give names. Maybe. Rachel's mama and daddy, maybe they had a special sheep, and that when Rachel was born, she reminded them of that sheep that they had, this special little lamb or whatever. It was beautiful. And lambs, how many of you ever watched lambs play out in the field? It's cute, isn't it? They are cute. That's the cutest little thing. All right. And what, brother?
Innocent,
cute little things. All right, now, so we have a Rachel, and Rachel is a good looker. We're going to find a little bit more about her now. Brother Wally, are you there somewhere?
Yeah, where are you?
All right, 29 and verse 9.
All right. And while he yet spoke with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them.
All right, she was a shepherdess. All right, she was a shepherdess. That's what she did. She liked gathering up the sheep. And by the way, whose job was it to carry wood and water?
The women.
The women's job, Brother Wally.
Yeah, but what I can't figure out, the big shot Laban's daughter is relegated to the sheep. She should have been up in the in the Hogan.
Well, now
and let somebody else do the work.
Well, wait a minute. Now, this was a good-looking woman. Knowing Laban now, brother, as you go, you will know Laban a lot better.
Well,
now, if you had a good looker, he'd have her out there advertising. He got 21 years labor for that woman. I'm going to tell you, in the long run.
You know of Laban, he's going to have everybody that he can work for him.
That's right.
He makes every dollar he can.
All right. The daughters don't mean as much, but I'm going to tell you something. I think this old boy was advertising his wares.
Yeah, but that's dangerous, too.
Yeah, it was dangerous. Later on, it was dangerous. Okay. And she was a shepherdess. Number 10, Brother Randall.
When Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother.
That's his uncle, Uncle Laban.
And the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the mouth of the well and watered the flock of Laban and his mother.
Okay, you can just put down Laban, his uncle. Uncle Laban, all right? That's who that was. Laban, Uncle Laban. And then verse number 11. Here he gets all excited here, Brother Jeff.
And Jacob kissed Rachel and began to weep aloud.
All right, now he was a very emotional person. He kissed Rachel, and this is a greeting, by the way, back then. He kissed her. This wasn't some terrible thing. This is what they did. If you find out, he kissed his uncle, too. And all the family. Okay, and that's what they did back then. They can't, if you go over there in the Middle East today and they meet you, guess what you're going to have? You're going to get kissed.
On the side of the face.
Yeah. All right. You're going to get kissed on the side of the face. All right. Now, here he kisses her and then he weeps. He kisses her and then he weeps. He wept.
Right.
What do you think he's...
happy.
He's happy. Yeah, he's happy. He is weeping because he's happy. First of all, God, now, the first little lag of this journey, the Lord has shown him that he's going to bless him because everybody's not dead by some plague. He could have been gone on this road over here to meet his family and all of them could have died from a plague. But first thing he asked was what? Is he alive? Is he still breathing? Yeah, he wanted to know if he was still alive. Not only was he breathing, but he was a pretty rich man, and he had a good-looking daughter. So he kissed Rachel, and he wept in verse number 12. Sister Andino, are you there?
Yes. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's relative, and that he was Rebekah's son. So she ran and told her father.
All right. So Jacob told Rachel that he was a relative, he was a kin, and that he was Rebecca's son, and she ran and told Daddy.
Kin folks is here.
Yeah. The family's come home. The long-lost family, they've come back. All right. Now, they'd been there before to get a woman, hadn't they? And Laban got involved in that. What did Laban do the last time, Brother Wally? What did Laban do to Abimelech, or to what was Abraham's servant's name?
Eliezer.
What did he do to Eliezer?
Well, Eliezer went to get to find
Rebecca. Uh huh. And what did Laban try to do then?
Well,
slow down.
Yeah, he was trying to deal.
Yeah, he was trying to deal with him and slow him down. And what did Eliezer tell Laban the last time?
He said, "Let's get on with it.
Let's get on with it. You're standing in the Lord's way." That's what he told him. You are standing in God's way. Get out of the way. And Laban shut up and let the situation, and he took her, and that was it. That was it. He tried to slow her down. Let her stay here for a while. Let's do this. Let's do that. Whatever. Number 13, Tony. Number 13.
Then it came to pass when Laban heard the report about Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him.
All right. Now, here's Uncle Laban. He runs and he kisses him also. Everybody's kissing everybody around here now.
The Laban saw dollar signs.
Yeah, that's right. When he kissed him, he saw dollar signs this time. And you know what? Maybe this guy is not quite as steadfast as Eliezer was. He's going to test him.
He's going to test the waters. All right, brother, or Tony, go ahead.
And brought him to his house, so he told Laban all these things.
All right. He related to Laban all of these things. And Brother Luis, number 14.
And Laban said to him, surely my bone and my flesh are foul. So he abode with him a month of days.
All right, stayed for a whole day. Now, back in those days, if you study the Bedouin culture and everything, you'll find out that they asked you to stay at least a week. And then at the end of that week, they beg you to stay another week, and they keep you there, and they'll take care of you for 1 month. Now, this is the culture. They'll take care of you a whole month. They're going to support you for a month. Laban's got some real designs here that he wants to start. He's done his part now. He's taking care of him for a month. Back out in the culture, out in the desert and everything like there, it's far between everybody's homes and everything back then. And this is a social etiquette, taking care of him for a month. But it's going to cost Jacob. It's going to cost him. Brother Wally, number 15.
Okay. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother.
Sounds like a used car salesman. Go ahead, brother.
Dost thou therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall thy wages be?
All right, now he's really working it over. All right. And Luis, number 16, number Luis.
Now Laban had two daughters, the name of the elder Leah and the name of the younger Rachel.
All right, now Leah. All right, let's go over here and let's look at this now. Let's go back to number 21 on your syllabus. All right. Jacob arrived in Paran and met his cousin what? Lamb. All right. Lamb's her name. And the daughter of his mother's brother, we're going to call him Blanco. Yeah. Blanco. Did I say that right? Blanco? It's the girl's Blanca. He's Blanco, isn't he? All right. Hey, here we have got Blanco, Whitey. That's what his name was, Whitey. All right, Whitey. That's his name. Laban, put down there White. And then number 22, what wages did Jacob ask for his work? Let's go on and find out now. Number... Laban had two daughters. One's name was Leah. What does Leah mean? Huh? Leah. Huh? Well, there's a lot about this word. It says that she had sore eyes. Sore eyes, weak eyes, dull eyes. Right now, a lot of us have sore eyes because of allergies, don't we? Huh? Now, maybe she was almost blind. This term here, it means delicate, soft. It comes from a word which means timid. It can mean weak. It, in Greek, is osteneia. Osteneia. Remember what osteneia means? Anybody know what osteneia means? Osteneia. Osteneia. Did you ever raise a child? Did you ever have a puppy that was weak, the runt? Hmm? I got a cat at home that I call her Trouble, because she had lots of troubles when she was little. Now, maybe she was sick. Brother Wally, did you ever raise much animals?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Did you ever have an animal that was a little bit weaker than others? You had to spend more time.
Always one in the litter.
A little pig or a little runt in the pig, a runt of the bunch. Maybe Leah was the oldest sister, all right, but maybe she was sick all of her life. Maybe. Maybe she took more care than the other one.
Maybe she just wasn't as good looking, and her eyes didn't have nice eyelashes and eyebrows, and maybe the guys didn't look at her. Man, old Rachel got all the attention before Leah. She was all behind the book door. Doesn't mean she wasn't.
Well, that's what's going on here.
She must have been pretty healthy. She had a bunch of kids.
Well, she had half of the tribes of Israel and her daughter.
You got $2, one ugly, one good looking. Which one do you think you're going to have a hard time with getting rid of?
All right. Now, just think about that.
That's a nice
Ugger or pretty girl?
That's just the way it is.
I had a chicken one time. I called him Ug, short for ugly.
His brother was Lee.
Yeah. Ugly. All right, let's go on and look at this now. All right. Now, how long is he going to work for Rachel here? It says in verse number 17, Brother Luis.
17 or...
We read 16, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay, number 17, Brother.
But the eyes of Leah were weak, whereas Rachel was comely and forming, comely and plump.
All right, let's look at this. All right, she had bright eyes, had shiny eyes, and she had a good figure. She was the cat's meow. This girl was pretty. All right. She had pretty eyes. All right. She had bright eyes. She was beautiful. She had a beautiful figure, and all of her features were beautiful. Now, there's an old saying, pretty is as pretty does, and we're going to find this out later. Pretty is as pretty does. This woman is a pain in the neck sometimes. Pretty women take a lot of attention. All right. Okay, Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in figure, and all of her appearance was beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful woman. Number 18, Brother Wally.
And Laban said unto Jacob.
Number 18.
Oh, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
And Jacob loved Rachel.
All right.
And I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter.
All right. Now, we're going to call honest Laban. We're going to call him Honest John, you know. Honest Whitey. Okay? Old Whitey there, he's not very honest. What does he say here? He said, I want your younger daughter. What does he say? Huh? What's old Whitey say? Huh?
Let's make a deal.
I can profit from this.
Oh, yeah, I can profit from this. But does he tell her, does he tell Jacob the rule of the customs of their people now? He didn't tell him a thing. He goes out there and he kicks the tires, say, look at that good tire. Didn't blow up, did it?
Bob Barker of the desert.
He's out there, boy, I mean, he's taking advantage, and he didn't tell him half the story.
Read the fine print, buddy.
Yeah. The fine print wasn't even printed.
That's a buyer's
beware. Yeah. Here we are. And number 19, Brother Wally.
Okay, and Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee.
Give. Do you see the word give?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Then that I should give her to another man. Bide with me.
All right. Stay here. I'd rather give her to you than anybody else. He's not going to give anything away, I guarantee you. That man, give, is not in his alphabet.
Well,
yeah. All right. Now, here we have verse number 20. Now, just think about it. Now, how old was Rachel? How old was she? How old was she at this time? What do you think?
17.
That's probably 13, 14 years old. That's usually when women got married back then. All right. But you add 7 years to that, and she's an old maid. Now, she's got some wear and tear on her now. She's been herding sheep all this time. she's probably going to be 21 years old or more. Yeah. Just think about it now. I mean, she's getting old now. If I'd have been Jacob, you know, the real trickster, old Laban said, wait a minute now, if I got to serve 7 years, I better marry her right now and then I'll work it out later. Because that's going to be an old woman time I get through. A 20-year-old woman back then was an old maid, I'm telling you. But he waited for that woman because he loved her. And according to the culture of the day, that woman was probably close to 20 years old. That was an old maid. But she was a beautiful old maid. She's still a knockout. She's still a movie star, boy, of the times. All right. Number 20. Lori, are you over there anywhere? All right, number 20. I want you to read this here. This is good.
So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her.
Oh, and that, now you just had an anniversary and everything, and it just this last year has just gone.
I'm an old
man. Yeah, just for a few days, it seemed like a few days that he had served for this woman because he loved her so much. 7 years is a long time, people. How many of you have ever been engaged 7 years? That's a long time, isn't it? 7 years.
I've been married 7 years.
Oh, you have been.
That's a long time.
All right. I've been married 7 years, too. It tells on a man, doesn't it? All right, number 21. Brother Wally.
And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife.
Give me my wife.
For my days are fulfilled, and I may go in unto her.
All right, now, he's, I want my woman. Now it's time for me to marry her. That's what he says here. All right. What? No, it's time now. All right. In verse number 22. Are you there, Brett?
I'm not. I'm sorry.
Uh-oh. All right. Anna. Anna.
So Laban invited everyone in the neighborhood to his wedding feast.
And he made a feast. Now how long is a wedding feast? Back in this period of time, how long is the wedding feast?
It'll be a week.
A week. 7 days. He's going to have a blowout here.
Lots of wine.
That's right. They have wine. They had wine in every meal because wine is what killed the bacteria in the water, and they mixed it. Okay? So they had wine, and they had all kinds of good food. He's going to throw a big feast. How many of you have ever given a daughter away? The family is supposed to, the daughter's family is supposed to be able to buy the wedding, basically. So that's what Laban's going to do. It's going to cost him now, but I'll tell you what, he's not finished yet.
Jacob gets through. He's not the sharpest knife in the whole bag.
That's right. He's not the sharpest knife in the drawer, is he?
No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's
lovesick. Yeah, he's lovesick. Brother John, where are we here? Number 22. Can you read 22 and then?
And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her.
Okay. Now marriage, all through history, marriage was when a man and a woman cohabited. All right, that was marriage. That's it. All the way. Do you know that Baptists would not have a legal marriage until about the 1930s and 40s in many churches in America? They didn't believe in marriage. They said they wanted to separate church from state. And back here, the Marriage Act was what? When a man and a woman came together in the act of marriage. All right? And he wants his wife now. And also, they escorted the woman. The man didn't see the woman. Now, this man didn't get fooled, or he got fooled a lot more than you think he did. First of all, it was nighttime. Okay? It was dark out there in the big desert. And they would gather her, and she would be all covered up. And they would escort her to his tent, and they would go to bed. All right? Well, she was covered with veil. All right? He didn't ask for her ID. But she became his wife. And in the morning when he could see her. When he could see what he bought. Have you ever bought a car or a horse or a tractor, brother?
Yeah.
My uncle one time got to me. Have you ever had any Uncle Laban's? Have you ever had any Uncle Laban's? I had one. His name was Wesley. My uncle had a used car lot.
And I went there to the used car lot, and I needed a car real bad. I was working in the oil fields, and I needed something. And this car was a 55 Dodge four-door. It had air conditioning in it with a little 273, I think it was, V8 in the thing. Nice-looking little car. He said, I just rebuilt it, the engine. I got out there and drove it, had a three-speed overdrive. Nice car, boy. Black and silver. Beautiful. I went down the road, drove it, went out here to the oil fields, and went out there when I got back home. It was knocking. You know what knocking means? Well, I am a mechanic. That car was real smooth before. So I dropped the pan off of it because it was knocking. One of the rods was knocking. And he pulled the old deal on me. You know what the old deal was, brother? Huh? What? There you go, brother. He took leather and he wrapped the inside of that throw on that rod and crammed it in there and tightened it up real tight. Well, you know what? It won't knock. But when you drive it about 50 or 100 miles, it starts rattling again. I got him later. I got him later. But I tell you what, he got me. I had to pull that whole thing apart and put a complete crank kit in it. I pulled a complete crank kit in that car. And that was between shifts. Meanwhile, I had to borrow a car. Later on, I had a 57 Ranchero that ran real good, had a 312 in it. And everything else, but I had been driving it back and forth to work. Had a little camper shell on the back of it. The guys would get in, throw their junk in there. We'd go off to work, and it'd work. But the engine was so wore out that I ran chain oil in it. That was 100 weight. And you had to start that car every day, or it wouldn't run. You had to pull it. If you didn't start it every day, you had to pull it to start it. So I went down there, and my uncle had a beautiful 55 Chevy. And he wanted that real pretty 57 Ranchero. And so I said, I'll trade you that 55 Chevy for it. Well, that 55 Chevy did have a new engine in it. So I said, I'll trade you. He goes out there and puts the own thing. I'll go back there later on. He said, Jimmy, every time I start that car, I've got to pull it. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, well, I ran one time for that other one. And Uncle Laban. Yeah, I had one of them. I didn't get him near as bad as he got me. And I was in a bind at them. Let's go on here a little bit further, and I'm going to turn you loose on the world. You can go out and do something eternal. But we're just getting started in this beautiful stuff. Where did we stop? Give me my wife. And gathered all the men, and he brought her to him, and Jacob went into her. In verse number 24, Brother Randall.
Laban also gave her his maid Zilpah.
Zilpah, all right.
To his daughter Leah as a maid.
All right.
So it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?
Why have you tricked me? Why did you make this bargain with me? Now, remember I told you later on that Jacob was going to get it when he tried to bargain with God, that God was going to give him more than he could bargain with. And he got him. You deceived me. I never tricked anyone. Why did you trick me? What's Jacob's name?
Trickster.
I never tricked anybody. Why did you trick me? Well, a story. Number 26. Brother Rex. Number 26.
And Laban said, it must not be done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn.
All right. Now, why did they tell him this before? I tell you what, it would have been a different story if Jacob
Now, once he had gone into her, she was his wife. Period. That's it. All right? But now, what's going to have to take place? Number 27, Brother Rex. All right, he said, now I'm going to give you the one for cash and the other when you get on credit. What does this thing, this, we've got a group that you go to, Crown Ministries, tells you how to get out of debt and how to serve the Lord better and all this kind of stuff. Now we have Jacob. Now he's got him a wife. He paid cash for her, but he didn't get her. Now he's the one he wanted. He's taking her on credit.
Grief share.
Number 28, and Jacob did so and completed her week and gave him his daughter Rachel also. And Laban also gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel for her maid. And that's where we're going to finish right now. We'll start over there next week and we'll look at that. I hope this was exciting to you.
I bet there's a lot of old boys here today at the young marriage. They had worked 7 years in their lives.
That's right. All right.
But it wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be one of them.
Well, I tell you what. This was quite a story of deception, wasn't it? Now, what you reap, you sow. The sowing or the law of sowing and reaping, is it true? What you sow, you're going to reap. And here Jacob did. Now, Jacob, God honored Jacob's deception by letting him be the heir and recognize him as heir. But when he deceived and what he did, he was going to reap. That God forgives you, doesn't he? But what you sow, you got to reap anyway. Period. All right. Yeah. All right. I want to make this little advertisement here at the end of the class. I'm phasing out my cassettes, even though I'm still using them. If you want this set of classes that I have here in the Bible in 8 Ages, we're already up to 60 something here right now. But if you want these volumes, there's 16 tapes in here. And you get a vinyl cover also. They're $20 for all of that. That's $1 a tape and $4 for the vinyl cover. That's awfully cheap. And I don't have enough room for all of this, so I have to phase them out. So if you want these for $20 a piece, you can get them. And all of these classes, the current classes, are on these, okay? And I've got them, and they're $2 a CD otherwise, plus a vinyl folder to put them in. So there's a good deal if you want it. Brother David.